Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here this morning to Jenkins Church. We're glad you're here. We're also glad that our speaker this morning, and I'll introduce him later. Do you tell your father? We have Jim Tubbs with us this morning to do our sermon, so we're looking forward to that. I'm glad he's here because Brother Larry told me if he wasn't here, I had to preach. And David told him, David told him, I preach enough at home. I didn't need the pulpit. So we're glad you're here this morning. First-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors here this morning? Would you stand and introduce yourself and the people with you, please? We're glad you're here. Welcome. Announcements. Very few announcements this morning. First thing is, please don't forget the consignment sale, which starts set up next week. Yes, next week. If you can work, please contact Sheila Gary. Also, we need as many participants as possible, so if you have clothes, we'd appreciate your participation in the clothing sale. Don't forget, the 29th, which is 2 weeks from today, is our Children's Sunday. And then after the 10:15 service, it is our picnic. It will be hamburgers, hot dogs. Please be sure and bring your chairs to sit in, as it will be outside. So please bring your chairs or blankets to sit on or sit in. So please keep that in your prayers, well, in your heads for announcements. Are there other announcements that need to be made at this time? Louise? Thank you, Louise. You've been in a lot of prayers. You're a big part of this church. You're our church family, so we're here to support you in anything you might need, and that goes for anybody. Are there other announcements? If not, please be sure and register your attendance on the pads that Joyce has passed out. Prayer request. Do we have any prayer requests? Lisa? How do you spell the last name?
K-N-O-O-P.
Definitely keep that for me. Pam? Yeah. For those who go down here and get your hair cut, Jill Jeffries' father passed away 2 nights ago. Visitation is today. Funeral is tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Hickory Chapel down here. It was benign. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I pray that you're rested up now. And you've had a lot going on in the last few weeks. Yes, you have. Are there others?
Nancy is about halfway through with the radiation treatments, and so far so good. Still hanging in there.
Good. Are there others? If not, please remember those that have been mentioned this morning, those that are on our prayer list. Please continue to remember our armed services wherever they may be stationed. If you could bow your heads for a moment of silence, please. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. If you will turn to your bulletins, please. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race set. set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, let us worship God.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 97. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
With your Holy Spirit in order to offer our thanksgiving this week for all the gracious things you have done for us the past week and for those wonderful things you can do for us in the coming week. In order to give thanks to Him, we're going to repeat the prayer He taught us to give all the thanks that we can, saying together the Lord's Prayer: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnals, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
First of all, I'd like to also, Sam, you can, I'd like to thank Kate. I haven't seen her in such a long time, but we're glad that you're here this morning to play for us. I think your mom's taking Lizzie to school. Is that right? So we need to pray for Melanie. Also, I want to thank the youth last night that worked the horse show. It was a big, big success. We ran out of food and had to shut down. So we sold about how many hamburgers? about 500 hamburgers at least we sold.
Wow.
And probably about 150 hot dogs. So we had to shut down and go home about 9:30. So we thank the youth that did that.
Turn the hymnals down, if you will, please, to hymn 430. And we'll do the first and last verses.
We're trying to get everybody awake in the morning, so we pick up the speed just a little bit.
I look to Jesus, all of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, I need to help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I will tell Jesus, I will tell Jesus, I will not bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help. How the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Before I knew your name, you knew my every breath. Before I found my way, you knew my every step. Before I knew everything that I need, you gave it all to me. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I'd spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. And I know there can be no greater love than this. I never understood how merciful love can be until till I found this faith that can light every part of me. And I will give everything that I am, 'cause I have been saved. Yes, I have been saved. No greater love than this. You should lay down your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime just wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. And I know there can be no greater love. No greater love than this. That you should lay down your life for someone such as I. I'd spend a lifetime just wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. And I know there can be no greater love for someone such as me. No greater love. And this.
Express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sent us today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Father, there is no greater love than that which you have shown to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must ask ourselves, what can we give in return for such love? There is nothing we can give to you but ourselves. Take these tithes and offerings that we do offer this time as a token of our appreciation for all that you've done for us. Take it and multiply it. Use it for the good of your kingdom here on earth, in this place, and in far-reaching parts of the world. In Christ's name we do pray.
going to turn the service over now to our guest speaker. We thank you and appreciate you filling in while Brother Larry is out of town today. So without further ado, I want to introduce Pastor Jim Tubbs.
Thank you, ma'am. You know, coming from, first let me tell you, I was raised in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. First Cumberland Presbyterian in Chattanooga. And then when we moved, I went to Westminster Presbyterian. And then the school I went to was a private school that was run by Presbyterians. And thanks be to God, every Friday, we had Bible study. Wonderful experience in grammar school. I encourage schools to do this, and they will not do it or cannot do it. And brothers and sisters, we're losing the battle because of that. I pray to God that as you take these children and they start school here in Williamson County this coming week, that you will spend time with your children reading the Bible to them. You don't have to watch Oprah or, God forbid, Jerry Springer. Spend time with your children. That's what we're called to do. This is what the single most important thing that happened to me as I was growing up. As I got older, I left the church for a number of years, 20. Went back after I married, had children, and I went to the Episcopal Church. Became ordained as an Episcopalian and was an Episcopal priest, and in fact still am, although I don't agree with the Episcopal Church. But your call as children of God is to bring your children or your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews, or to go and tell people of the wonderful work that has happened because of Jesus Christ. Now let me read a couple of small passages. I put some in your readings. I won't get to those for a minute, but let me read these for you just a second. First, I want you to do something for me. Because I'm an Episcopalian and I'm kind of used to people getting up and sitting down and getting up and sitting down, sometimes kneeling. I'm not going to ask you to kneel, but stand up this morning. Would you all stand up? Raise your arms up. I want you to do that for a purpose. Because I don't want you to go to sleep on this cool morning. Number one. And number two, let me tell you, this is the way that the people in the time of Jesus prayed to God. Did you know that? They still do in the Middle East. Now we've got your blood circulation. Sit back down and listen to God's Word. Because one of the things that we don't do anymore that we did for the first, almost 2,000 years, was that we listened or read God's Word. How many of you sat down with your children and read Bible stories? I won't ask you to put your hands up because I don't think that would be fair to you, would it? Not fair to me either. But how are they going to learn about God, and how are you going to deepen your understanding of God if you don't know the story? Can't do it, can you? Television's not going to tell you. Radio's not going to tell you. Most of the music we hear is secular. To have all the things that we have been given through the graces of God and to use them for the purposes we're using them for, I believe eventually will cause us to lose God's favor. Now, this is what I'm going to read to you. This is from the book of Jeremiah. Several times in the Old Testament, and please understand, we're Old Testament people as well as New Testament people. Jesus did not have the New Testament. And the quotations that he gives when he was preaching come from where? They come from the Old Testament. Now, why was he so absorbed with the Old Testament? That's what God had revealed to this group of ragtag people, the Amorite tribe, the Jews, the God knows of all the people that God could have chosen to be his people, and the place he put them, it's got to be the worst place on earth and the least of the least. And that's the tribe that Jesus was raised in. But listen to what Jeremiah says. This is just repeating a passage from Exodus. As you know, as Moses has brought the people over. Now, this is from Jeremiah 7:23. This is Jeremiah speaking God's word as a prophet. He says, "Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people." Isn't that good news? Jesus certainly believed it. I believe it. I will be your God, and as the inheritor, Jesus Christ, life, death, resurrection, and saving grace, I believe that that statement applies to you and me also. I will be your God, and you will be my people. But now let me go on and read just a little further, because we take comfort in that, don't we? I will be your God, and you will be my people. We like that. That's the warm fuzzy. Right? God, I am one of God's people. But it goes on to say something. This is God speaking. Pardon me. Through the prophet Jeremiah. "Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you." But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their hearts. They went backward, not forward. From the time your forefathers left Egypt until now, day after day, again and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets. But they did not listen or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their forefathers. And it goes on down in the 28th verse. "Therefore say to them, this is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord, its God, or responded to correction. Truth has vanished from their lips." Have we, as a nation, forgotten God? And if we have, as a nation, has God started withdrawing his protection as he has done historically through the Old Testament? When people did not respond to God's word. By all rights, according to historians, this is the wealthiest country the world has ever known. We have riches in this country that would make any king or queen or ruler or prince of 100 years ago be put to shame. Interesting thing that as you were taking your offering up this morning, one of the things that crossed my mind is that God said, "I will be your God, you will be my people if you do certain things." You'll notice there's an if statement with all these promises. And we forget to take out, we forget the if. If you will worship me, if you will praise me, if you will share with your more less fortunate brothers and sisters, if you will offer the tithe back to God. These are all if statements. So, will I tithe? Wonderful. Wonderful. That's good news. I can tell you, if you do, you're going to find you can get more and feel better and do better. You truly will be better. But it's not just a tithe of money. The tithe of time. It's a tithe of talent. It's the time it takes to come to church and praise God for all the good things He has done for you during the past week. And then do God's work this coming week. If school starts in the next tomorrow, parents will be happy. Children will be happy. They won't tell you they're happy, but they'd like to see their friends. What is our call? What is our responsibility? What is our responsibility to Nolensville, to Williamson County, and to the people you work with? What's the single most important thing you can do? Is to be faithful to God. And the reading for this morning, if you will look in your pamphlet, is the second reading. It says, it's on the inside sheet, from Hebrews. Remember now, the letter to the Hebrews was written solely to the Jews, aimed at the Jews, for them to understand that Jesus just came and fulfilled the full and final prophecies of Jesus of God. He is the final prophet. God gave His only Son to fulfill the prophets that the people didn't pay attention to, Amos and Hosea and Jeremiah and Isaiah. So God said, I will send one more to try to turn this group of people around and bring them closer to me. And so the letter of the Hebrews was written. Because of their faith. Because of their faith. The people walked through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. You're going to find over and over again people going back to that event of the Exodus. And we are part of that heritage that thanks God for bringing us out of our own bondages, not just of sin, but our bondages of falling prey to a culture that knows not God and seems to be further and further away from God into a safe haven with God. And the assurances that God offers to us, the assurances of life after death, the assurances of forgiveness of those things that we all do by mistake at times, by omission and commission. And we come on Sunday morning not just to praise God and worship God, but we also come to ask for His forgiveness for those things we've left aside. And we leave here being refreshed to go out and do God's work. Do God's work. God's people had faith, and when they had walked around the city of Jericho for 7 days, its walls fell down. Because God told them to walk around the city of Jericho and blow horns for a town that had lost its way. Rahab had been a prostitute, but she offered safe haven to the people who were infiltrating to bring about God's will and work. She wasn't killed with the rest of the people. And then it goes on to talk about, there's enough time to talk about Gideon and then Samson and David and Samuel and all the other prophets. But they had faith. So this passage is about your faith and my faith that God will be faithful to His promises as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And His promise is, I will be your God and you will be my people if you do my work and my will and have the faith to know that I am walking with you even through the valley of the shadow of death, as it says in the 23rd Psalm. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I promise that I will do to the best of my ability, trusting in God, His work. Now, what would that look like? Well, I don't know what your situation is. At the very minimum, you're called to raise your children in a godly manner so that they will know God. In your life, to read, mark, and inwardly digest God's Word so that you will know what is expected of you. To take just a few moments each day and listen for God in prayer. You don't understand, Jim. You're retired, I am. That's true. I don't have time in the morning. I've got children to get together. I've got to go to work. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to deal with all those issues I have to face every day. Then I've got to come home. I've got to either fix supper or eat supper. Pardon me. And then I have to watch the news. I'm going to ask you here today, how many of you, when you watch the news, nice on you, have been able to affect the outcome of a national situation or a world situation? I'm 64 years old. I've watched hundreds of hours of newscasts, and I may have an opinion, and usually do, but I can't affect the outcome except by voting for or against issues. I can pray to God to change the outcome, but I can't affect it myself. So what's more important to you? To listen to the news, read the paper, or to spend just a few minutes with God, who by far and away is more powerful than all the presidents and prime ministers, kings and dictators of the world. The God that created the heavens and the earth and the stars. Thank you. And my allergies get to me every once in a while. What is more important than to listen for God's plan for you? And how are you going to do that if you don't spend time with God? Occasionally it happens. Occasionally there's a Paul situation that happens on a road to Damascus. Occasionally there's a situation that happens like with C.S. Lewis, who was driving to a zoo and God turned him around completely. But the truth is, for most of us, it's taking just a few moments to look at God's Word, to pray for God's will to be done. In the Orthodox tradition, the Eastern tradition, they have a very simple prayer. It's, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. And monks in the Orthodox tradition were taught to make that an inward part of your being. And you would do that by saying this prayer a million times, a million times. So that it was part of your body, part of your bones. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. And as you became so deeply involved, you would then understand your relationship to God, and that in fact everyone is a sinner on his way to perfection. I would suggest if you don't have time to spend just 5 minutes with the Lord every day, that you have your own prayer. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy is a condensed version of that. Because in the Episcopal Church, we found that, you know, people didn't have time to say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, because we don't think we're sinners. So we shortened it to Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. As we go on our road to become more and more involved with God our Father through Jesus Christ, we must begin somewhere. Baptism is the entrance, not the completion of the journey. And though in the Presbyterian Church, as in the Episcopal Church, you have confirmation. That's not the end. That's the beginning. And though you come here this morning and listen to this crazy person, this Episcopal priest, stand in the Presbyterian Church and preach, that we're all on this journey together. And that God's love surrounds us and holds us and upholds us. And there are no conditions on that. But But if you live what God told you to live, how God explains to you to live, what God wishes for you to live, you will have a full life here and now. I will be your God. You will be my people. You will grow in God's grace over and over again. How many of you, if I were here next week, which I won't be, if I tell people in churches I fill in, I can say what I want to and preach how I want to, I won't be here next week. You know? And some people I hear back there say, well, thanks be to God, I was in a church. I was in a church for 3 straight weeks. And, the minister was out of town. And when I walked out after the first Sunday, I was like, someone had a basket of tomatoes. You know, they'd given them away if they'd grown in the garden. If I'd seen that, I'd been scared to death before I got them. I noticed the next week they didn't have one. I sure am glad they put a clock up here because I could talk forever. They say, Jim, you talked long enough. But besides, I was taught in the Episcopal Church to preach for 5 minutes. God could tell you everything you need to know in 5 minute sermons. So we get a sound bite in the Episcopal Church to come up and preach for 25 or 30 minutes is indeed exciting and different. You know, we have a liturgy that actually, a liturgy in the Episcopal Church and for communion and your liturgy for communion are identical. What you have in your Confession of Faith booklet and the one that I have in the Episcopal Church are identical. As far as the order goes, with one exception, you follow a slightly different outline for confession than what we do. But if you put them side by side and filled in what your order is, it's identical except for where confession is. I've got 10 minutes till 9, and I was told that Sunday school starts on time, that everybody would leave, or they should leave, to go to Sunday school. So I guess maybe I'd better quit. Is that fair? Is everyone in favor of that? Stand up, off your hands. It's okay, you can stand up. It's okay, it'll do you good. It gets your blood working, see? And praise God. So you say, thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for allowing me to live through the past week. And those that lost people during the last week, I want to thank you for accepting them into your bosom. And I want to tell you today that I promise you here in this church, before you, as I raise my hand in worship, that I'm going to try to be with you closer and closer and closer. And I want to spend just maybe 30 seconds every day just to be with you and feel your powerful presence. You put your hands down because I know you don't do that fast. But I will tell you, the ceiling didn't fall down. Isn't that interesting? You can raise your hands. God didn't see it, didn't fall down. Fascinating. Please be seated. One thing I know about this from being in a liturgical church, an Episcopal church, the person on the front row does something, everybody's going to do something. You know, that's the way we operate in the Episcopal church. So I always tell people, if they're visiting, just watch the person in the front row. If they stand up, stand up. If they don't stand up, don't. Almighty God, we thank you for those that are here today, for those that are traveling, we wish that your prayers with them, for the people in South Florida who suffered the devastating loss and throughout Florida, we ask that you be with them. And I appreciate being here, and God bless you. And I will turn this over to whatever the next situation is. Thank you for the word.
Thank you.
So,
stand, turn your
hymnals
to hymn 453. Let's sing the first verse only.
Thank you. Yeah.